It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ramble.
Apparently, like, climate change is making walruses commit suicide. They're making them, like, jump off cliffs. And I was like,
There is this weird thing that happens when you know every week you're going to be talking for at least an hour, that you start to save things. Like, we save conversations for our podcast.
One day we were all just sitting around and we noticed this horrific smell, but it was more like this might be toxic for us. And they were air frying shoes.
Link, like a Ruby Tuesday's waiter, Link has a tendency to bring a little flair to things. And when you bring flair to knives, people get hurt.
So your dad could make a pretty good cult leader then.
He could, yeah. He's spending more time down there in Myrtle Beach, doing some shagging.
Oh.
A 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 9, 7, 6, 5, 4, 1, 2, 7, 9, 8, 6, 5, 4!
Wow, you know all those numbers?
Even in that order, yeah.
Oh my god. Welcome back to another Smoshcast, guys. We have three very lovely people here today, which is one more than we normally have. Today we are joined by Damien of Smosh.
Hi.
And Rhett and Link of Rhett and Link.
What up?
Hello.
Well, this is the glorious first, to be here.
This is the first time we've met. I'm so excited.
This is the third time we've met this morning, actually.
It's a big building.
Yeah, very, very large, building we live in.
We were thinking it was like a Wizard of Oz situation where Stevie would just come out and be the talking head and there was no Rhett and Link.
Right. Yeah. Well, that would be the case, but she's on vacation. So.
Oh, well, congrats to her. I just said congrats.
Congrats.
Congrats to her.
It's early. Well,
did we make you do this earlier than you normally do? Is that was our request? We got to do it early.
It was 1 hour earlier, which is just totally throwing my game off, man.
Yeah. Okay.
No, this is great. For those of you that don't know, I guess we'll just go through this really quickly. Rhett and Link are the ones that saved Smosh. So, you know, it took you guys long enough to get on our pod. Jeez.
Well, we didn't want people to think it would be a regular thing.
Yeah, sure. That's true.
We want to be on every one of your podcasts.
You just start showing up in all of our videos.
Yeah.
just becomes the Rhett and Link show.
We didn't want to scare your audience.
Yeah. No, that's understandable. I appreciate that.
But now that we're here, we are taking over.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. You guys definitely have much more podcasting experience than us. Like, you guys have been doing it for how long?
I don't know. I mean,
there was a big break.
The first Ear Biscuit was probably at the same time.
Maybe as, 5 years ago, six years ago.
Oh, yeah, maybe so.
Wow.
So that was like the second wave of podcasting, because I feel like there's people that started podcasting like back when it was like early internet, and people were like, I don't know, I'm just doing this like podcast thing, and it was a joke. And then like there's like a second wave, and then that's like when everybody decided they were gonna sort of do a podcast, but they didn't really know what they wanted to do. And I feel like it kind of fell off. And then now we're kind of in this like third wave of like podcasting where everybody now has a podcast. And I think everyone's starting to definitely understand as like a listener, like what podcasts are, and like now there's people that are taking more seriously and they're getting more into like, you know, scripted type stuff. I almost wonder if it's gonna sort of like do like a full loop like back around to like how like radio used to be, where like they had like War of the Worlds and like full stories. I'm sure
some teleplay action.
Yeah.
Have you listened to any of those? Like any of the scripted podcasts?
No.
A lot of auditions roll through on like the voice acting end. Like it's been maybe a year now that they're just constantly coming in for things like that. And they're incredibly detailed. They'll have like a page of character description. It's interesting. I think you're right on that's the way it's going for sure.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm stoked. I was way late into the podcast game. I think the first podcast I ever listened to was like 2 years ago.
Wow.
Because just like, I don't know. Because I equated podcasts to like audiobooks and I just wasn't into that.
Yeah. So,
but then I started listening. I was like, oh, wait, this is actually kind of fun. And I just really enjoyed the podcast where people are just like having a conversation.
Yeah, the second wave you're talking about, that's when some YouTubers started doing podcasts.
Right.
And now there's a lot more of that. And I think it's great. I think it gets, you know, I'm excited for you guys to have started one because it gives an added dimension to the way that you can communicate with your audience that you haven't been able to do on the other channels, you know.
Right,
so,
totally.
I think it's great. I listen to it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think I'll definitely listen to this one. I'm listening to it right now as I commute in.
You should just try to recite every single word that you say. just be driving the car with like your kids and your wife and just start like saying every line. That'd be fun.
You'll like this part. Hold up. Listen. This is the one. Yeah.
My wife started listening to our podcast once she realized from friends reporting to her that I talk about her on it.
Oh.
So there's like a policing factor.
I'm afraid that like if I start dating that maybe I'll say something about like a date that I went on and then maybe that person will find out about the podcast and then they'll hear it and then I'll get busted for saying something. That's my fear.
Or yeah. She'll be like, he's thinking about me at work. That's so sweet.
And talking about me openly and seemingly critically.
Yeah.
You got to watch yourself. But you're going to have to figure out at what point in a relationship, do you say, listen, this is all going on my podcast. I'm exploiting all of this.
Yeah.
Well, we regularly get like old friends. If we tell a story, we get old friends who text us and tell us all the details that we got wrong.
Wow. Like it's,
or if I'm telling a story now about any one of my friends, somehow it will get back to them. So now I'm like, every time, and we don't talk, you know, negatively about anybody.
Sure.
But if you just kind of like, in fact, so we've talked about my friend Ralph and how he kind of abandoned me on the top of the mountain at Mammoth. But it was really, I told him to go down and I was going to take a different way. And then my other friend, Tim,
texted
him and was like, Ralph is a horrible friend.
Oh,
he was serious.
I'm like,
I thought that was hilarious.
No, he's not. Did I tell that story in a way that made him seem like a horrible friend? I thought I put it on me.
No, you kind of painted him to be the guy who abandoned you at the top of the mountain when you had zero skills to get down.
I told him to go down. I told him to go down.
But like, he didn't argue about it though. He was like halfway down and was like, you got it, man.
he put up a little bit of fight, but you can't give all those details.
Of course.
Yeah. He is a horrible friend. Well, I'll just take the brunt of it.
I could say with almost utmost certainty that none of my friends listen to my podcast. So, and I'm pretty sure nobody listens to this podcast. So,
talk about them more. They'll start. So we can
start talking about them.
Yeah, talk trash about them.
Talk about it loudly in a Starbucks that you have a podcast.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of a Rass, you suck.
See,
all
right,
now I'm gonna wait. I wouldn't talk directly to him.
Oh, okay. There's
I know you didn't ask me. Right,
okay, yeah, so there's this friend of mine, Rass. He sucks.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
I'll wait for that response.
But there is this weird thing that happens when you know every week you're going to be talking for at least an hour, that you start to save things. Like, we save conversations for our podcast.
Interesting.
But have you started doing that where it's like you're just kind of living your life and you're like, okay, this is something that I could either talk out now with somebody or at least make mental notes of, oh, I'm gonna bring that to the Smoshcast.
A little bit. I've never, are you saying that you straight up like will stop a conversation and be like, save it.
All the time.
Yeah.
Really?
What?
Well, yeah.
And it's also the fact that it's our Ear Biscuits is always the two of us. Like, it used to be guest-based, but now it's every week it's just the two of us. And a lot of times it's stuff that we're experiencing, or anytime we both go on separate trips anywhere, you can't talk about it. Like, we don't speak during the week that we're gone.
There's
no details. You get back, it's like, how was your trip? And you can just be like, you can give like one word answers. Good.
Mm.
Okay.
I mean, I don't even think we ask off mic anything about each other. It's like, I mean, that's the extreme, right? Like, that's what may happen to us.
That's like our, so funny.
Our entire relationship is conducted on mic.
Well, I mean,
it doesn't happen, but it could happen.
I think we're constantly filtering, like, is this Ear Biscuits worthy? If it is, I won't talk about it. Is this, like, not interesting enough or too, you know, private or whatever? Those things are for the real world. So the only thing we talk about are boring private things.
Yeah.
You know, like, anything that's interesting has been relegated to the podcast.
But you are going to have to figure
our relationship
out. I mean, those type of boundaries. Like, you think about relationships and... Really, at what point do you say, I mean, I wouldn't say like on your dating profile, which, you know, we've been working on together.
Oh, you've been working on my dating profile?
We have been.
Oh, great.
Well, it's probably the same time that you, it's probably the same threshold as when you bring somebody onto your social media, right? I mean, it's, I would think it was the same time. Like, what's the policy there these days? I mean, obviously, we got married before social media, so we don't.
Yeah.
We didn't have to navigate these waters.
That's nice. That's like, if ever I'm on like a dating app thing, I don't connect my Instagram or whatever because I would feel extremely uncomfortable if someone was like, oh, he's a YouTube person now.
Yeah,
like,
you can't.
I don't want to attract the type of person that interests, you know?
Yeah. Right? Oh, okay.
For the sake, I don't know, just the follower number thing gets stars in certain people's eyes, I think, and I don't want that.
Well, and especially if you start like
you don't want that right now.
Not right now.
The relationships that start between online personalities. It's like okay, so when Grace and Elliot started dating, like couple months ago, it was like that first post. The first post that didn't say anything official. It was just suggested something. You knew they were in a relationship because they're thinking about this very carefully.
Yeah, that's Grace Helbig and Elliot Morgan.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, for those of you who aren't on the inside of the hive mind of YouTube.
But that's a big announcement, and that was something that I had to really think about when I was in a relationship. I think, you know, with one of my long-term relationships, I was very guarded. I didn't really say anything really about my relationship. Like, I wasn't like hiding her away, but it was like I don't know how much of my, you know, private life I really want to put out there.
Yeah.
And then with the relationship after that, I was a little more open because she was also a sort of online personality. So it was kind of that timing thing where it's like, okay, are we good? We're good. All right. We're going to tell everyone. We're just going to lay it out there for the internet. We're going to make it known. And then that'll be that.
And every person is going to be super chill about it and not badger.
Well, I mean, I wasn't so much of the heartthrob. So it actually wasn't, it wasn't as bad for me because I didn't have like as many sort of like, you know, people that had like a fantasy of dating me. So
this is the thing that made it not happen. Damn it. Yeah.
So it wasn't, so my announcement wasn't so bad.
Got it.
Was it an announcement?
Yeah. I did like a, yeah.
On what? Instagram?
On like Instagram. And I think maybe also cross posted to Twitter.
Yeah. Okay.
Because you just have to, you know, you want to cut through the bullshit. You want to just like say like, this is what it is. Stop speculating. No, Anthony and I are never, we're never going to get married. So just like give that up.
We're still dealing with that.
That's funny. Oh, you too? Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, I addressed it in that announcement. I said, look, like, if you want to write fan fictions, that's fine. You know, be creative. That's great. If it's sort of this creative endeavor that you're doing, I think that's great. But when you start like coming at us, like you guys are meant to be together and like with like, you know,
really.
It's that when you really cross that boundary of like fiction to like what you like want the person to be in real life.
Yeah.
Then that's when it gets a little dicey. And I'm like, it's not going to happen in real life. Like, that's fine. You can write those fan fictions and that's great and everything. But like when you start trying to interfere with our real lives, then that sort of crosses a line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, at what point do you, at what point are you like character and like online personality, and at what point are you a real person? And that's difficult about YouTube because you are kind of both all the time. And I think some people just can't really separate that.
Yeah.
But, so like 5% Anthony chance? I don't know.
I'm just curious. Let's put it at like, let's put it at like a 3%.
Cool.
3%.
So okay. 3%. There's still hope.
Yeah. I'd say we've got like a, we're basically married.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We have a, it's just a different type of marriage.
Yeah.
I've got like a, I got a wife, and then I've got a friend. I don't want to say
husband. Say it.
A friendsbend?
We're like
a friendsbend.
Friendsbend. Friendsbend, I like it.
We're like an old married couple. I mean, that's really how it is. I mean, when you've been together this long, you no longer have a choice.
Sure.
You're just riding it out.
And you no longer have sex with each other.
Right.
Aww. You know what I'm saying?
So it is a lot like an old married couple. There's no sexual
separate
intimacy.
Beds. Same room,
you're
but
sleeping
separate
in
beds.
Separate beds.
Right.
You argue all the time, but you're kind of in it together.
Yeah.
And you never
for the
go
children.
To bed mad. What's up?
For the children.
Yeah.
Yeah, we stay together for the internet kids.
Yeah.
Did you just sniff a lemon?
What?
I didn't see what you did, but it looked yellow. Ian,
I took a drink of my iced Americano. Yeah, they're out of cold brew at my favorite coffee shop.
Why did you think it was a lemon?
It seemed yellow to me. Is
what?
It not
no.
yellow?
I think it was the light. I think it's not what yellow at all.
What it was? It was out of the corner of my eye, I saw your index finger. And I think you kind of have a Simpson-esque complexion a little bit.
I'm very
little jaundiced.
Yellow.
A little jaundiced. Yeah.
You feeling
you should
all right?
Definitely get your liver checked.
I haven't seen sun in 3 years.
Is it weird? Just bending over, sniffing a lemon.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to believe.
Well, that's fine. You can believe what you want.
I'm back, guys. Very weird kind of addiction for Ian.
Isn't that what
he hasn't gone down a dark path.
I mean, you know, I'm not an expert podcaster, but I thought that's what every podcaster was. They just had a lemon on the side. They just
you don't
squirted
sniff
it.
Lemons? What?
You guys don't lemon?
Amateurs. Lemon.
Weird. It must be kind of weird to sit here because this is the exact same place where you guys record your ear biscuits.
What?
Except
no
we just
way.
Threw a blue tablecloth over the table and put up a black curtain.
When was that revealed on the first Moshcast? Did you?
I don't think we ever mentioned it.
Nope. Nope. This is it, Rhett.
So now's the time when you tell us that's not cool to do, and we just cut it out.
No, I think people probably have figured, right? Yeah,
Kevin. Same mics, yes. But you've got the sneeze guard up, which was our request. It seems like.
Oh.
It's like, why would it be, why would you want this? It seems like, yeah, they can use our mics, but, you know, put up a sneeze guard.
Well, it's...
That's not what we said, but we didn't say anything.
You implied
sure.
It seems like we did.
You guys don't have the pop filter
no.
when you record?
Oh. No.
Well, I do a lot of P's.
Oof.
I do a lot of P's and K's.
Yeah.
So,
as a rule,
sorry.
We don't have
I'm
any P's in the podcast.
Yeah.
That's the easy way around.
You're a
what
pucker.
Do you call it then?
A pucker, pecker.
We just kind of take it out.
Pecker.
It's just.
Oddcast.
Yeah.
Oddcast.
Welcome to Oddcast. Oddcast. Oh, God. If Oddcast isn't taken yet, can I just go ahead and take that? Can I?
That's
I'm going to take
actually really
for
smart.
You can do your own.
There's no
own
doubt.
We'll need a different color tablecloth.
Yeah.
Great. There's so many left.
Okay,
I feel like
great.
It would need to be like something like Rhett's shirt, like something very psychedelic.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the Oddcast probably does exist multiple times, and they probably all suck.
That's true. So this could be our chance to do it right.
The chances that it doesn't exist, or it does exist and it's also a good podcast, very,
slim.
Very slim.
Yeah.
What do you think the worst podcast is out there? Like, do you think there's just like... like I want to hear the worst podcast that has ever been recorded. Like, what do you think that even is?
Because I mean, I guess there's people who like, even if you just explore, it's hard to find the worst.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, because how's the worst going to rise to the top?
I can't say
I've listened to any horrible podcasts, but.
I feel like eventually there's got to be like the room of podcasts. You know what I mean? Like there's got to be a podcast that's so bad that it gets a cult following. Because
I wonder if there's
so
a Reddit thread about this, because there's a Reddit thread, you know, the deep into YouTube Reddit thread, which Link turned me on to, which finds just...
Did it turn you on?
Horrible. Well, sometimes. Every seventh or eighth post. But... it finds things that it'll be like 2006. This video is called Fred Finds His Cat One View.
Wow.
You know, and then it's just, it's constantly, and then every once in a while you're just like, I, you know, I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So someone needs to do that with with podcasts.
Of course, they should.
It's harder to get the idea of a podcast in the same way you can quickly gather, you know, the concept of a YouTube video. Be like, am I going to commit like half an hour to figure out if this is really the room of podcasts?
Yeah.
It's probably a bad idea.
I guess also like there is like with YouTube videos, there's a certain like amateurness to like the way it's filmed that adds to the allure of a video that has like one view.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there was some video, I think Bo Burnham was saying he likes to just find like really obscure YouTube videos that have like two views. Like, remember that one video that blew up? Like, there was some kid where he was celebrating getting his second subscriber or something like that.
Oh, I remember seeing something.
And then, like, obviously Reddit found the kid and they blew him up and he got thousands of subscribers and he was like freaking out.
That's a good power of the internet right there.
Yeah. Sometimes
we did that for a while. What was the, we had a segment.
Yeah, the wheel would land on something.
Isn't it that hashtag, like the non-used hashtag? Like you find it.
Well, we did that where it would be creating a new hashtag or a hashtag that had been used like one time.
Right.
But we did something where you just find a video and then we would send everybody to that video and we were like, you can't tell them that we sent you. Just make it feel like
all
these people have just discovered this video. But I don't think that people really play by the rules. I think the top comment is always, GMM sent me here.
Oh, wow. Of course, yeah. They don't keep it a secret.
The podcast, like, my good friend sent me this guy that he knew that he knew when he lived in Pasadena, this guy who's now moved down to Cabo, and he calls himself Dr. Fun.
You can talk about Dr. Fun.
Okay, that guy sells LSD.
No, what this guy sells is these little songs where he says things like, you got to shift your focus till you're feeling good. And he just has all these like motivational songs that he just goes on a rooftop in Cabo and sings them.
Wow. Into his phone, yeah.
And he's been doing it for years. And he's got a YouTube channel, he's got his Facebook. And, you know, there's like, I don't know, maybe 100 people will watch each YouTube video or whatever.
It's like it's an a cappella jingle where this guy's just, it's like self-motivation.
And but he just got thousands of them?
I guess.
So I don't know how many songs he has, but we sent everybody to this guy because I was legitimately like memorizing these songs and finding myself singing them.
Wow.
Because, and
you stopped going to your therapist.
I started using them. Like if I was like feeling a little bit down, I'd be like, man, I got to shift my focus till I'm feeling good. And it would really work. But
nobody knows what you're talking about. You're like, you know this?
It's just for me. And so we sent a bunch of people to his website. And then I've like been following his Facebook when he was like, I didn't have any idea what was going on.
Oh, really?
Wow. And then he was like, but I found out my friend Lance, who knows Red and Link, sent everybody over here. And so then he was like, here's a list of 17 songs that I will send to you if you PayPal me $10. So he's like,
he's cashing in.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, he's living up in Cabo.
It's a legitimate service, man. Yeah. Like I was like, I haven't downloaded the playlist yet, but I'm like, yeah, if I can get all of Dr. Fun's songs in one place, that's
worth $10. Given him $10, man?
I just haven't gotten around to it.
So I've given him publicity, man. Everyone else can give him $10.
Yes. I gave him exposure.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Fiverr's for, right? I mean, that sounds like a very Fiverr thing, like making jingles for people. And I'm sure some people have made some pretty good money off of Fiverr. I almost said Fiverr.
Don't get me started on Fiverr.
You guys are an old married couple.
Yeah.
But there was like that one guy, I'm guessing it was a guy on Fiverr. I said it, damn it.
All right, let's talk about Fiverr.
Yeah.
Are we changing the subject?
Fiverr internet?
We're both on Fiverr.
It's great. I'm a big fan of Fiverr.
In college, we got turned on to like a big can of Metamucil, not a sponsor.
Yeah.
Is it a sponsor?
Metamucil a sponsor for this episode, Kevin?
Potential sponsor.
No. Oh. Well, one day, you know, one can dream.
Mm.
Yeah. Changed everything. Highly recommend.
Really?
I mean, if your diet's right, you don't need it. But
when you travel, You should take some fiber. You should do a spoonful of Metamucil or some other sort of psyllium husk-based fiber supplement
before
you go to bed. Yeah. It changes your whole travel.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought this was a bit, but wow.
No, man. We care about you guys. We
do you
care
guys
about
the bus?
Your
do you guys
GI
use a
tract.
Bus when you're do you guys use a bus when you're touring?
Yep.
Okay.
If the cities are close enough, yeah. So we slept on the bus twice this past little trip.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And do you guys have a no pooping on the bus policy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's like, I mean, it's not ours. There were signs that I think come with the bus.
Because there's no bathroom. So
they're just all over the bus.
Please don't poop on the bus.
Don't poop here either.
Find a corner.
It's like that. Yeah, the dark spot. But you can't poop in the toilet.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's well, it's not cool to the other people that are stuck on on that vessel.
I mean, I did an RV trip with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I made that rule. I was like, all right, guys, listen up for the orientation. And that was pretty much it. Don't crap in the crapper.
And nobody violated the rule?
No, day one, they're like crapping in the crapper. I mean, it's like, they had to go. I mean, we're driving down, we're going 80 miles an hour down the freeway, and he's like, Lincoln's dropping a deuce in the...
Well,
where's it? Where is he? He's been gone.
But did it
yes,
dissipate?
It did. Whatever you're thinking, yeah, it did that.
Well, because if it's a good system...
Oh, no, it didn't.
If it's a good system, it can contain it. I mean, but, you know, one little leak, and that's all it takes.
Oh,
you want to talk about RV maintenance and septic maintenance?
No, let's get back to Fiverr.
Don't forget to, you got to get those little blue tablet thingies, and you got to charge that tank. Mm. You got to throw them down in that tank.
And then you take a bite of the blue tablet every morning.
It is tempting.
Have y'all done that yet?
That's like what I got. That's what I got down here. Instead of a lemon, I just have one of those blue
nibbling on a
yeah.
An RV toilet tank.
Yeah, it gives me a nice little charge. And it makes my poop smell nice.
Right, yeah. Take care of the problem.
As blue as this tablecloth.
Preemptively.
Yeah. But it doesn't surprise me that, you know, that'd be a little harder when you have little tiny humans because, you know, their digestive tracts are a little bit smaller than ours.
Yeah, they can't wait as long.
I'm assuming that food just goes straight through.
Right.
I don't remember that anymore.
That's how kids work.
We're so far beyond that.
Well, you're talking about Fiverr. What is that? What is that
Did you
service?
Say Fiverr.
Fiverr.
Okay, we're back.
What is that service? Is it called like Cameo or something where you can pay?
Yeah.
There's lots of celebrities on there, and there's lots of YouTubers on there as well. I think they approached us way back in the day.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've been approached.
Yeah.
Have you ever done it?
No.
What is it? You get
this is
paid.
Like, I want Ian from Smosh to wish me happy birthday, and I'm going to pay. Anywhere from like some people are like $10 and some people are like $400 depending on the celebrity. And there's like there's
legitimate
very
celebrities on there.
Recognizable celebrities, but it's typically like a lot of like D-list people that and they'll be like, I'm gonna go on and I'm gonna do 200 happy birthday wishes or be like, oh, Susie graduated from vet school. Congratulations. Good luck with the dogs.
So yeah.
Sounds like you've done it without me.
I haven't.
But the celebrity sets their price and they set like what they can or can't do. And then people basically like submit like a bid for like, I want you to say this. And then I think the celebrity has like 24 hours or 48 hours or whatever to respond and send the video and then they get paid. They reached out to me like several times. I just kind of ignored it because I don't look down.
It feels weird.
It feels weird for myself. I don't look down on people that do it. I know. No. I think Courtney did it for a short while, and then she just kind of like, eh. But it's just another way of monetizing your audience. I understand that, but it is kind of weird if you're like, oh yeah, you want a video from me saying happy birthday? $400.
Yeah, like, it's the amount that you'd have to charge to make it worth your time if you're really busy. It's not the amount I'm comfortable charging a 12-year-old who wants me to say happy birthday.
Right, you can't find that sweet spot. Right,
right.
And it's like that kind of weird thing with like festivals or not festivals, conventions. The convention circuit, like all the sort of like your CW celebrities, the people that have the sort of like hardcore fan base, but it's a small hardcore fan base.
Yeah.
They're making six figures just doing the convention circuit, just doing appearances where basically they sit at a booth and if you want a photo signed by them, it's like $20. And if you want to take a picture with them just sitting right there, that's like another $20.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like just kind of weird because like they're just kind of sitting at these booths, and we call it at Comic-Con, we call it Depressing Celebrity Alley, where it's like it's just all these booths lined up, and it's like you're sort of like a WWE wrestler from the 90s, some dude that appeared in Star Trek The Next Generation, and they're just kind of sitting there.
And do they stand up for the photo?
I think they stay sitting generally.
They stay seated, right?
It's an extra $5 for the stand.
Right, right. Yeah. The one I really understand for that, though, is like voice actors, right? Because voice actors don't get residuals. Like if you're on a cartoon and it's still playing, awesome. But if you're in a video game,
you're a voice actor.
Right. I know. You can be the biggest video game character in the world and get paid what you get paid, and everybody knows you, and you're like, you're that guy, but you never get anything from that ever again. So that's why specifically those folks do that. I haven't done it. Disclaimer, I know I'm biased. I know I'm biased.
And I'm not saying that I won't one day do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do a meet and greet at all our shows.
Sure, yeah.
Which is hello and a picture.
Yeah.
You know, and then they get like a little goodie bag or whatever.
And something already signed.
That's how all the other, like old athletes, like you're talking about the WWE, like old football players.
Yeah.
That's what they do, man. They, in fact, like we have a friend who was telling us, he's like a baseball expert, who was talking about Pete Rose. Like Pete Rose apparently has a store in Vegas, and he like sits in the store, and you can like buy some memorabilia and stuff, but it's mainly him sitting there every single day and just doing what these other athletes do at conventions. It's like, go in, meet Pete Rose, get an autograph, get a picture, and that's his income.
Wow. And he just has a store where people just come through. That's really smart for Vegas because people are just coming from all over.
Yeah.
And they don't really have anything else to do other than drink alcohol and gamble. So I guess that's probably a better – that's money better spent.
Hey, what's in this store? Honey,
Pete Rose?
Pete Rose.
Right there in a folding chair.
That's smart. But I think with Comic-Con, it's just like, because people aren't specifically coming for them.
Yeah.
They're just like kind of walking through. They're like, oh, it's Casper Van Diem just chilling. Like that was me. Like I was just walking through. I was like, oh, there's Casper Van Diem. Okay. I love Starship Troopers. But
that's funny.
Did you pay up?
I didn't.
You just pointed.
I was like, oh, yeah, all right, cool. Like, it's just weird. And I guess it's not. It's only, I don't know. It's just a little sad for me when I see those people sitting there and there's nobody in the line, and they're just kind of sitting there like just waiting for somebody to walk by. Oh. I'm like, if there's like a line of people and like everyone's excited, like that's really cool.
Yeah.
But if it's like there's nobody there, I'm like,
So if you go, if you're going by and nobody's there and you just strike up a conversation, are they like, is there an awkward moment where they ask for like $10 because you're talking to them? It's like, you're the only person in line, but you are now the line.
I don't know there's a price for just conversation.
Is there?
Probably not, but they probably go like, so you want like a photo or a signed thing? I'm like, no, I'm good.
I was doing this for you, man. I was just trying to make you not seem alone for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
You should pay me. I'll do that at Comic-Con. I'll be the guy who talks to the unpopular celebrities to make them feel like somebody's there.
Yeah.
Who's going to pay you?
Of course, I'm gonna get paid a lot.
But
The relatives of the celebrities? Like the celebrity's mom is going to pay you? Like that's a small market. Like old celebrities whose parents are still alive. You get paid like twice, maybe three times if they have like a stepdad. This is a horrible business model.
Right, exactly.
But an untapped market.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's smart.
Right, yeah. No one else is thinking about this right now.
Because I think we're onto something.
Maybe you can get Pete Rose to invest.
He's not busy.
No, I think he's very busy. He's got to stay in that store.
Right.
Does he sit in like a glass, like, cube?
He's in a claw machine. You pay a quarter, you think you can get him out.
He's like, oh, can't get me. I'm Pete Rose.
It's no fair. He's moving.
He's still got those jukes. I mean, I read an article that said like those people that do those convention circuits, like even though they were in like a minor show, like some of them are bringing in like hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And it's all cash. Yeah. They're not reporting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, good for them, man. I mean, Stan Lee was doing conventions like right up until the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he wasn't doing it. I don't believe that he was really doing it for the money. I think he was just honestly like excited by the fans and stuff.
Totally.
I think that was really cool.
And it never got sad with him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Even in the end, it was like, even when he was just ancient, it was like, oh, it's still cool. Oh, Stan Lee's always cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was some real sketchy stuff that was going on behind the scenes with
his
family and all this crazy stuff.
Was his nurse or something, right?
Yeah. There's a very long story.
There's
like people stealing his blood. Like it's there was some kind of like memorabilia thing that was running where apparently like one of the guys that was like his business partner was like taking his blood and then using that as like an autograph. Like you could buy like memorabilia with like a stain of like his blood or something.
What?
Yeah, I got one of those.
Yeah, it's like the most sinister shit you could think of. Like, what's the most evil thing we could do? Take an old man's blood.
Wow.
You also can't show that off to your friends. Like, you want to see what I got from Stan Lee?
You bet I would.
Bodily fluids. Like,
I mean.
Right.
Hell no.
I mean, that is a pretty hardcore brag if he had Stan Lee's blood.
But there's so many questions that come after that, though, that you just don't want to answer.
That's true.
Like, how much did you spend?
My mom worked as a lab tech in a health department for years.
And her phlebotomist?
She was a phlebotomist. Yeah, she would do the finger pricks and all the types of sticks.
Yeah.
Mm. And she would, it was at the local health department. And then after we graduated from college, she actually then moved to NC State where we went to school, and she was at the infirmary there.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't there when I was there. It would have been nice having your mom at the infirmary.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, would mom, it really take my blood pressure or something?
She'd give you kisses on your boo-boos.
Yeah, give me kisses on my boo-boos.
No, Mom, I need medicine like everyone else. Please.
But so she would always have a report of who came in there, and it would always be like the NC State athletes.
Yeah.
And it would always be like, Julius Hodge came in today. You would not believe how tall he is.
I've looked at the roster, right? So I do know.
It turns out she was keeping all their blood and selling it. No, she wasn't. But I'm thinking she could have done that. She could have made it some extra scratch. It's like, I've got Julius Hodge's blood here. Maybe. I don't know.
Inject it before your high school basketball game.
Oh, God. That could be a business in the future, you know, like collecting famous or athlete people's blood.
Well, they're already doing stuff with like young people's blood. Like that whole thing about who was it? Like Mary Queen of Scots? Was she the one that would like bathe in the...
Because
Bloody Mary, she would bathe in the blood
like virgin
of the virgins.
Blood.
Oh, wow.
But there's actually...
But she didn't take it intravenously.
No, but like, I don't know. Don't quote me on this. I don't know exactly what the science is, but basically...
I'll quote you on that. Rhett doesn't know exactly what the science is. I'm going to be quoting that for years.
There's... It might be the plasma. I don't know what it is in the blood, but taking like young blood like really does have like anti-aging effects.
They tested it on rats. And it worked. I guess they did see a noticeable improvement in old rats by putting
So they have
young rat blood into old
rats. So there's some
rats.
People doing it, but there's no studies on it because it's so
The rumor,
sketchy.
Yeah. So apparently some people in Silicon Valley are doing it. The rumor is that Peter Thiel was doing it. Peter Thiel, the super rich guy that destroyed Gawker his own. Through Hulk Hogan. That's a funny story, man. Don't need to get into it. But I think that's so crazy that we're now in the age where we can be vampires. Like, oh, you want to live forever? Just take some young blood.
Yeah.
But this is also the stuff that like thousands of years from now when they discover our civilization, like we hear stuff like they used to drink mercury in ancient Egypt. What fools, that killed them. Like this is going to be our thing. They're like, they used to drink baby blood as part of their culture.
Yeah, they injected bee venom into their faces.
Yeah, they put botulism in their face.
Yeah.
Well, they...
We're here.
I mean, the latest thing I was hearing this morning was they took human DNA and put it into like developing monkeys and made them smarter.
Whoa. I know how this movie starts.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That was this morning?
Or last night?
Well, they got
it all, it all blurs together.
Was it using that CRISPR? That's like the gene editing tool. Like,
I don't know, because I just started thinking Planet of the Apes and I wasn't getting details anymore.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we should just keep monkeys dumb. Mm-hmm. Or like as smart as they are, let's just keep it at that level.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We won this whole evolutionary thing. Like,
yeah.
Let's not
keep it there.
Yeah.
Well, haven't you seen like the Olympic medalists like helping the person in second when they break their leg across two? Like we can help out some monkeys. Okay. Or like a turtle. I want a smart turtle.
Yeah, and when I say they got smarter, I think what they measured was their ability to differentiate between colors and shapes. And they saw an improvement. Mm. So
okay.
I'm not panicking yet.
Okay. We need them to differentiate between friend and foe before we start making them smarter. Because they're really good at ripping people's faces off. So.
Yeah.
Well, Coco, she had like all kinds of like messages for the world.
Yeah, that was really sweet.
Really?
Yeah, and there's a little controversy over like how much she was, because there's like this one clip of like Coco saying all this stuff about how man is not treating the earth well, and it's like really complex thoughts, and I want to believe it's true so badly because it's so sweet.
Was it edited in the way they like made Obama say like a Beyonce song?
I think it's, I think it's an old clip with. Like, it used to be a thing for celebrities to, like, go hang out with Coco.
So yeah.
Like, there's, like, a famous clip of Robin Williams with Coco.
Yeah, Coco loved Robin Williams.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I think...
Mr. Rogers, I think, in his documentary,
that
there's
too,
a bit
yeah.
with Coco, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's where I saw... Maybe I saw the Mr. Rogers, because it's more recent that I've seen this clip where she's saying all this stuff about, like, people mistreating the earth and not understanding... that they're part of nature. It was like, it's really complex. It's like,
humans bad. Must kill humans.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
She's saying she loves mankind.
Yeah.
Everyone ignore her.
I have developed new bacteria to destroy human race.
She wants yogurt. That's what she's saying.
Right.
That's it.
I liked your Coco hand movements, too. It was just,
well,
kind
it's,
of,
just this. It's a lot like that.
Coco definitely knows more sign language than I do, so I guess that says something.
That tells you something.
So you guys are just in Nashville. And
yeah.
I said, while you guys were in Nashville, you had to try some of that Nashville hot chicken.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we had not had it before we went.
Oh, yeah.
So if... Do you know where we went? Because...
I asked Rhett.
Okay.
I asked Rhett. He said you guys went to Hattie B's.
Where would you have told us to go?
I have no idea. I've never been.
Oh you've never been. You've never been to Nashville?
No. I want to, though. But I love me some hot chicken. It's.
But you haven't had it at the source.
Nope.
And your favorite place in town is what? You said
I went
to Dave's.
I went to Dave's Hot Chicken.
And where's
but,
Dave's?
Howlin' Ray's. That's over on West... I don't know streets. I just use Google Maps. But Howlin' Ray's is apparently the best hot chicken place in Los Angeles. So
that's
basically, for the people that are listening, hot chicken is basically like just some good-ass chicken, and it's just basted in all this. It's like fried chicken, but it's like basted in all this spicy goodness.
Yes. But it's
like
dry. It's not really saucy as much as like it's closer to a rub.
Yeah.
And
slash
the rub
marinade.
Is in the breading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it kind of like... If you like peel back the skin, you see like redness like already on the
wow.
meat.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought it was just hot sauce on chicken.
Yeah.
Boy, was I wrong.
Oh, it's so good.
It's really good. I mean, I didn't like spicy foods. After all the spicy stuff we've eaten on our show, it like messed me up.
Yeah.
So I would just have like a brain block.
Mm-hmm.
I would just tell my stomach, you're not going to like this.
Yeah.
Don't eat it. Feel nauseous. Just by the smell.
Did
but
you guys...
then I got so excited about that, and it turned the tide.
Oh, really?
It was good.
How did it compare, like, spice-wise?
Like I mean,
it tasted
much better.
Okay.
You know, when
it had a lot of flavor. And, well, yeah. And the dry rub doesn't have the same lasting effect of sauce.
Oh, okay. Mm.
So like sauce, because it's got like oil in it, will it sticks with you and you feel it in your stomach. Something about it was just very hot immediately. And then I was like, an hour later, I was like, I don't feel anything.
Did it did it come with, because I don't know how they do it there, but sometimes I know they come with just like straight up white bread. Like,
yeah.
Was it, it was white bread?
They give you like two slices of white bread.
Yeah, and then a pickle on top. And then if you get the coleslaw with it, that helps a lot.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, because the hot chicken I've had here, they serve it on like a legit bun with like the slaw and the pickles,
right?
And it's so good. Oh my god,
I've never tried it. And I've never from the South, so that's shameful.
Yeah, I've never had chicken that just melted in my mouth. Ooh. It was just like, oh god.
Where are you from?
Georgia, a place called Peachtree City, which is the most Georgian name ever.
Peachtree City.
Yeah.
It's a fake place.
It sounds made up.
He's like a secret agent.
Peachtree City town.
It's outside of Atlanta.
An hour south. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, if you're going,
I was born in Georgia.
If you're going down there, let's see. There's a big water tower with a peach on it, but I think that's in South Carolina.
Well, it's in South Carolina on House of Cards.
Yeah, that's
because there was a whole like.
So you got the
like season the 2 of House of Cards. City.
Yeah.
But they got the peach water tower.
That's true. I'm sure we've got a few ourselves, though. But to be fair, I did not see a single peach tree in Peachtree City, Georgia.
Really?
Yeah, everything's just named after peaches and peach trees. And there's like Peachtree Parkway, Peachtree Street. And very few of them are in Peachtree City.
So did you have a Southern accent?
Not really. I think I sort of affected that a little bit more once I came out here, because it just sort of felt like I had an identity.
Right.
I spoke very like non-regionally, but that also made it, you know, I was an actor and it made it a little tough, because if you're too proper speech and everything, you're just not a believable human. So
well, how old were you when you moved out here?
18.
From Georgia.
Hmm. Born in Germany, raised in Georgia, and now, yeah, here's home.
But you don't have any, you eradicated it. Did you take a class?
No, it's just, my mom was born in Ohio. My dad was like born to a German immigrant family, but in New York, like there was no hope of ever picking up any specific affectation. But to be fair, people generally think they don't have an accent. So I wouldn't know unless you told me I don't have an accent.
You don't have an accent.
I believe you. I trust you.
I don't think you, Ian, I don't think you have an accent either.
I have a California accent.
Yeah,
is it?
Yeah, he has like a California.
Yeah.
Like this Sacramento accent.
You got a Sacramento accent?
It's like a Northern California accent. And then when you go up a little bit more Northern, then you get people like, oh, yeah, man. Like,
ooh,
you know?
Man.
Yeah, I don't know. I know I definitely have like a little bit of a California thing going on. But but obviously, like wherever you grow up, you're like, I don't have an accent.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And but then, it's not nearly as, I mean, what you're describing of like Sacramentites or whatever you're called.
Yeah, that, Sacramentites.
We also have like,
I think if they hang from the top of the cave, they're Sacramentites.
Yes.
No, that's a tight.
We also have like a good deal of rednecks in Sacramento. So
there is
like a little mix of like, you have a little bit of mix of California and a little mix of Kansas and a little mix of like the South. You know, I've seen a few Confederate flags flying around my town.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be a special kind of person to not be from the South and adopt that as your symbol. Like I was driving through
basically Burbank, right?
Well, no, it was a little bit north of Burbank, and I was like, "Does that guy That guy has a Confederate flag flying in his front yard just outside of Los Angeles." And I mean, I don't think there's any excuse for it, regardless of where you're from. But
yeah,
like my son was saying, there was a kid that goes to school there that is from California and like has adopted the whole thing. He's got a pickup truck and a rebel flag, like bumper sticker on his.
Yeah. Mm. I think for some people, it's just pure ignorance. Like it's a situation where they don't, like they, what was it, Dukes of Hazzard? Like they had the big, like with the Confederate like logo on it. Like, so I think some people just associate with like rebelliousness and being like, yeah, like I'm a beer drinking American, you know?
Right.
And then there's some people that, you know, they see it as tied to some kind of history of the South that never actually existed because that flag wasn't even used for the Confederacy.
Like, is that right?
The actual Confederate flag that you see everybody using, and we'll have to fact check this, but it wasn't used as the flag of the Confederacy. Like, that flag where it's just that that X was used, I think, for one battle or something. Like, you'll see that.
It was a part of the old flag or
something.
Yeah.
You'll see it used in parts of the flag, but it's not the whole thing. So it's kind of weird that it only happened, it was only later on that people started using just that pattern. So it's like, it's kind of weird to say this is just a heritage thing, not a hate thing. And it's like, well, it's not really a heritage thing.
I think it's right. Like when people are looking for some kind of identity, any kind of identity.
Yep. Yeah.
And, you know, there's such like a meshing that happens in America. And sometimes you lose, you know, people don't say necessarily anymore like, I'm German, I'm Irish, I'm Italian. A lot of it just becomes like white. And so then it's like, well, you can't look back. There's no like that history, so people are like, where are we going to go for that? That flag, that's the closest thing I can get. And then it's like, all right, great, now I have some history and some culture. And they ignore the sort of parts of that that are not so awesome.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, I think that's
or they
part of where
or
it
they
from.
Actively embrace.
I was giving people the benefit of the doubt, yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, it's a bummer.
Well, that's the thing that I've seen is like there's just a lot more people actively embracing the hate part of the history, and that, and it's like, and becoming emboldened to embrace it,
and getting
away with it.
And I think, you know, if you're like kind of sporting that stuff, and then people start, you know, attacking you for it, it doesn't necessarily change your mind if people are just attacking you. Mm. So it kind of just emboldens you to that flag or that identity. Mm-hmm. And sort of drives you further away into that sort of realm, you know, rather than people having like a legitimate conversation about it and saying like, I understand where you're coming from, but you also understand that like, that flag doesn't mean what you think it means.
Yeah.
Rather than being like that, like a lot of people are just quick to be like, no, you're like a racist bigot and like go to hell, blah, blah, blah. And I think that's what drives people apart more so. I'd like it for the flag to just not exist, but that's not going to happen.
Because you're flying a flag of a regime that no longer exists, that was defeated in battle and is technically the enemy of America, the enemy that is. So it's like literally kind of like flying a Nazi flag and just being like, no, that was just a good time for other reasons. And like, no,
right.
It was never was.
Yeah. I'm sure we're going to get some great comments.
Great. Let's edit this all out.
I will say, though, one of the most entertaining things I ever saw was the girl I was dating at the time, we went to her high school reunion, and it was in Kansas, which I don't believe was ever part of the Confederacy. But there's a guy that came to the reunion. He came in on a riding lawnmower.
What?
With a 24-pack of Miller High Life. And he had Confederate flag boots and a Confederate flag belt buckle and a hat, like a cowboy hat.
So he was local to the to the venue.
Born and raised in Kansas.
But he was close enough to drive his lawnmower there.
Mm-hmm.
Or did he bring it on a trailer?
No, I'm pretty sure he drove it there.
You can get pretty fast, and you know, you've got some experience with riding lawnmowers. I mean, especially the new ones, man.
Oh, yeah, you get that hydrostatic transmission.
Have you been on one of those?
I remember the first time I got one of those, it just forward and reverses, just this.
Yeah, it's just one of these, right?
I was always so jealous of the kids that had those.
Yeah,
and there's like a 0-inch turning radius because you just
no, you're talking about
push one.
I never had the two handles.
Oh man, you gotta get one of those.
Worked like a let's see, one of those little version of a track hoe where it's like you can turn on a dime.
Okay, yeah,
like literally. No one in the greater Los Angeles area has a riding lawnmower, like at their house.
Because nobody has a lawn.
Right.
It's all like desert scrub. They're like, I don't want to deal with this. Let's put in rocks and a cactus and we're
There's
good.
Probably some really wealthy guy in Beverly Hills with like one of those like 2-acre lots that's got his own riding lawnmower.
Really?
Like
you think
they're like spinning around with
that
zero.
Guy does not mow his own lawn.
I'm saying that he's doing it to like in... Like, you know, not let go of his manhood. He's using the riding lawnmower, like, but like not always. He's just like quarterly. Okay. He goes out there and just spins around in one spot in the yard.
Even though he could pay someone full time to hold his manhood for him.
Well, he also does that. Yeah.
That is like one like sort of redneck thing that I wish I would be able to participate in, which is the lawnmower races.
Mm. We've done it.
You've done it?
Really? We've both participated in a lawnmower race.
Well, there's different types. The one that there's the race track, like you're riding in a circle like you would on NASCAR, but you're just on a fast lawnmower.
Yeah.
But what we did was the tractor pull, but with lawnmowers.
With lawnmowers.
Where there's the sled that has the weight, and then the weight moves from the back of the sled, and as you're driving, it slowly creeps up and makes it harder to...
Eventually it will stop you no matter what.
But they're like different divisions of...
Wow.
Of lawnmowers, and some of them look like drag race cars.
Yeah.
And
they're
sound
not,
like it
they're
too.
Not, they're, yeah, they're not really lawnmowers anymore. They're like 250, right. 300 cc engines.
Yeah, they don't,
plus blades.
They don't have the blades. They take the blades off.
Although if you wanted to make it more interesting,
I
you keep the blades
say,
on.
Absolutely.
You take the covers off, and then you just let all hell
let it go. Was that during the days of Stevie recently unearthed on Let's Talk
yes.
About That, like the sizzle reel,
reel?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we had an idea for a show. This is back 2011.
Probably 2008 is when we shot the thing. Maybe 2009.
Yeah, because 2007 was when we did our first like really short-lived TV show out here, and then we were trying to get something else going. So right after that, and...
We were like, we like dirty jobs. What's the Red Link version of dirty jobs? Well, it's redneck jobs.
Yeah.
Or redneck hobbies.
Yeah. Right. So we were going to go like, you're like noodling, you know, like fishing for catfish with your hands and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. We were going to experience all the redneck hobbies. And for the sizzle reel that we made, I found out from my dad, he was like, well, they do the lawnmower tractor pull right around here. I know everybody. So we just show up, and my dad is like the ambassador. He was like our film permit, you know, in you know, the walking film permit. He's like, hey, my boys are here. Can they ride on your tractor in the competition? It's like everybody was just cool with it.
Yeah, that's great.
Wow. So your dad has like a secret life as a tractor pole
it's
ambassador.
Not very secret.
No?
Oh, yeah, he's out.
Persona.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, everybody seems to know my dad, and he's the type of guy that he'll find himself being the president of things just because everybody likes him and they just appoint him that.
Mm-hmm.
So like he'll join a club. I got a solo at the cantata at church. I was like, I didn't even know you went to that church, Dad. He's like, well, I didn't. Until I showed up one day and then I'm singing a solo.
And now I'm the priest.
Great.
What's a priest? That's probably what he would say. But yeah, he would say, well, I started going to the Lions Club, and now I'm the president. Like, literally, they just put him in charge of everything because he's like this charismatic guy who everybody likes, and he's good at raising money and making stuff happen or putting guys on tractors.
So your dad can make a pretty good cult leader then.
He could, yeah. He's spending more time down there in Myrtle Beach, doing some shagging.
Oh,
I mean, we talked about we kind of ripped the South a new one, but I mean, there's some beautiful aspects to it as well,
sure,
right?
Of course.
All the fried foods, and then the beach shagging.
Okay,
the beach.
Just so we're clear here, are you referring to sexual intercourse?
Sadly, no. I'm referring to.
Because that's the only shagging that I know from
Austin
Powers.
You don't know about the dancing, shagging?
No.
It's a dance.
Oh my God, I thought you were saying that your dad goes to the beach and has sex with people. I was like, whoa.
Uh-huh.
I was like, this is getting really open.
Yeah.
Okay, jeez. All right.
It's
I'm
isolated.
Sure he has.
It's isolated to the South, and it's very popular in South Carolina, in Myrtle Beach specifically.
Oh.
And it's just like a...
It's you and your dance partner just kind of like shuffling your feet. There's like a gentle shuffle to the feet. You know?
You've seen people dance like this. You just didn't know it was called shag.
Got it.
Oh.
Shag now, shag later kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, thank God
but
you cleared that up. Because I was just going to move right along with like, okay, yeah, you're just openly talking about your dad's sex life.
Well,
that's fine.
You guys have a great relationship.
Is that, I don't remember who told me this story, but it there were some people from England visiting South Carolina, and they were on a bus with these two old couples who were talking about shagging.
And they
had the conversation, like an extensive conversation about it. And they were like, whoa, South Carolina is, these people are very
free,
open
very
about
open.
Their sexuality. Yeah.
It looks like Woodstock never ended over here.
What if they like invited those English people and then they show up to their house naked? They're like, we're ready for shagging. Like, I think you got something wrong here.
Right.
So speaking of shagging, actually it has nothing to do with it. So the way that the place that Smosh works out of is sort of shared with Mythical. On our side still resides your food producer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all the food that you guys are making and testing.
Mythical yep. Chef Josh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. And as it turns out, I don't know if everyone here knows, but you guys make some pretty disgusting food. And not only does it taste bad, it also smells really bad.
Right. Mm. Sorry about
and, that. So occasionally we'll just be working, you know, minding our own business, and this terrible smell will just waft over, and we're like, well, I guess we're just going to live with this for a couple hours.
We didn't tell you about this when you moved in. It was like, you get your own space and it's going to be great. Yeah. We're not going to talk about the smells.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to eat it. Everything that you smell, just think about that. Every time you smell something horrible and you feel like you can't endure it, in a few hours, we're going to be eating it.
Right.
We're going to ingest it. It's the most intimate exercise ever is putting something, do I have to spell this out? To put something in your mouth and then try to masticate it.
Uh-huh.
And then swallow it.
Yeah.
I mean,
but
at
it's
least
over
try.
Before you know it, though. I mean, when you smell
like,
something over a
so
period
it's so intimate.
Time.
Like, smelling something is arguably pretty intimate. But it's not as intimate as putting it on your tongue, chewing it, swallowing it, letting it pass through your entirety.
Right.
Why are you talking about how intimate it is?
Just to put it in perspective, whenever it stinks over there.
Well, I think
dad
I know what you're
going
to say. Go for it.
The shoes?
The shoes.
Yeah, okay.
So it's
well, we haven't eaten shoes, so what's up?
Go for it.
So one day we were all just sitting around and we noticed this horrific smell, but it was more like this might be toxic for us, and they were air frying shoes. And then it's not like, that doesn't smell delicious. I don't want to eat that. It's like, it's a matter of like, what is this putting into the air? What factory
they
goo
did that
are we
inside?
Yes,
they did that inside.
They did.
They were air frying like sneakers in the kitchen, and I was like, this doesn't seem safe. So I like walked over there and I was like, hey, like, I don't think this is okay. And like he had the, I was like, do you have like a fan on? And he was like, well, you know how they have like the little range over the stove that has a fan? Yeah. He's like, well, yeah, the fan's on, but it just blows right out into the room. I was like, great. Awesome. So after that, a Slack message was sent out, and I think from now on, any sort of toxic substances that are being cooked are now cooked outside.
Right. I get it. So you asking us on the podcast is really just an intervention. So you're not going
to
die.
Please talk to Jeff.
That's fair. That's fair.
Oops, sorry.
You got an alarm. Is this over?
No. That was somebody calling me, and I was rude.
Yeah, the shoe never made it on the show.
That was just a test.
Great.
So we didn't even.
We interrupted the process. I'm sure.
If it wasn't for you guys, we would have had an awesome shoe
frying
episode.
We did air fry
episode.
A football, though.
Yeah.
That was another thing.
That was also cooked inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We experienced that scent. And I don't think that was good for anybody.
I think I'm not
smarter. I'll put it that way.
Now we're paying attention to those like mesothelioma commercials that you never thought about before. Yeah. And now you're like, hold up, turn it up. I should know this.
Yeah, we're already working on a class action lawsuit against Mythical. It's really funny though, because I brought it up to Josh and there was another guy there. And the other guy was like, well, I mean, like, we've been doing this kind of stuff for like 5 years and I haven't died yet. I was like, that's not the best benchmark.
I haven't died yet. Yeah, that's not how those illnesses work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of the things we do, you kind of stumble into the realization that we could have done it a different way.
Mm.
You know, I think that's the nature of the work.
That's the fun of the internet. It's a new frontier. We're all trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's that maybe that's something you could argue could have been anticipated. Hey, let's burn this shoe outside.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just gotta stop and smell the football to realize
right.
We could do this differently.
And I think another thing that you guys learned is that Link, you can't hold knives. What's the story behind this? You're not allowed to hold on to knives on videos.
Yeah, I don't know what the genesis of this rule was, but it's gotten out of hand at this point. I mean, I can't use anything that's sharp or pointy, or they still let me throw darts.
Oh,
but Chase is very far away now.
Yeah, he gets very far away. Because one of my darts got very close to him one time when I threw at a time when he didn't. I threw for emphasis. You know, I was making a point in my recollection, and it was a nice punctuation.
Just think about how things would be different if you, I mean, it missed, like he had his arm out and it went either above or below his arm. Just think about how things would be different. There's a number of things that could have gone
I'm sure
a different
he's
way.
That had being his one tetanus. I mean, if he's up to date on the tetanus. It's fine.
What if he had it gone right into his eyeball? But think about that.
I mean, eye patches are pretty dope. They're kind of in these days. True.
Very anime.
I would have.
Like,
do
you think
felt
we'd
bad.
Still be making the show if you had thrown a dart into someone's eye and blinded them?
We probably wouldn't be doing dart episodes anymore.
So you've had some close calls with knives then? Like, I don't understand, like, you're just not allowed to handle them?
Well, in his personal life, he cut himself one time.
I think, I mean, it may have been six Christmases ago now that we would always go to Christie's parents' house on Christmas Eve. So then, like, that morning, because we had to go see other family, that would be the Christmas morning there. So you'd, like, open the presents, and my daughter was of an age to get a Barbie. She opens the Barbie and she's like, "Dad, I can't get into the Barbie. It's like in one of those clamshell type things."
Those things are the worst. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're like trying to get into it, and my father-in-law hands me his knife, mm-hmm. and so I just slice open the top of the Barbie doll, and I just sliced the end of my finger.
Oh,
I didn't slice it off. Oh. I cut my finger pretty deeply. My middle finger, if I remember correctly, but I'm very queasy when it comes to blood flow.
Mm. Yeah, did you pass out?
And at that point, I try not to panic, but I did, and I just grabbed my finger and I ran out of the living room into the kitchen, and I don't know why I just wanted to run my finger under the water in the sink.
Yeah, I mean, wash it. Sure.
Doesn't? Yeah, I guess
that makes sense.
Yeah.
But the next thing I remember is I could see I opened my eyes and I saw the cabinet like below the sink. I was all of a sudden at a lower level. And then I looked up and I was in my father-in-law's arms.
Oh, wow.
And, I was bleeding out, man.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that bad at all. It was just like a little Band-Aid fixed it. Mm. But he never lets me live that down. So like,
sure, man.
Of course, every Christmas,
for good reason.
Bobby's trying to talk about the knife. It's like, well, don't give him the knife. So the rule was at his house, Link doesn't get a knife, but I'm going to constantly talk about how I'm trying to give him a knife. Boy, this is funny.
Wow.
Oh, so this is a sore subject.
We actually don't go there for Christmas anymore. I don't even fly home. We go home for Thanksgiving now, and this is why. I just couldn't take the ridicule.
No, Thanksgiving.
Can you cut the turkey?
No.
They just pass it around and take bites out of it.
Yeah.
Their turkey is not
there's something
at all.
Primal about that.
So, yeah. I mean, that, he loved it. He loved it.
Of course.
You know, he's just waiting for years for me to faint in his arms.
But I think it's just I think it's a general, it goes beyond the fact that you injured yourself. It's also, you give a knife to Link, and you give anything to Link, and he's going to, like, do something a little extra with it. And knives tend to be dangerous to do things extra with.
I hear.
So it's like, we just don't.
Are you trying to use, like, the cool parlance of extra? Are you saying I'm extra?
I'm not trying. I am using that.
Okay.
I'm just saying if you give you something, you're going to like move it in a way that like, okay, it's just a little something extra.
That, yeah. You're not using it right.
And
if you want to seem cool, you just got to say Link is extra, right?
Well, that kind of sounds like an insult.
No, being extra is that's proper usage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But doing something a little extra.
Well, I'm using it in the traditional sense, but it's also playing into the modern parlance. You know what I'm saying? A little something additional.
How about this?
That draws a little attention to it.
I'll continue to not use knives if you don't use the term extra.
That's fair.
You want to use the term flair? Link, like a Ruby Tuesday's waiter, Link has a tendency to bring a little flair to things. And when you bring flair to knives, people get hurt.
Fair enough.
Fireworks, are you allowed around those?
He shouldn't be.
I don't think either one of us are because we nearly blew ourselves up in the parking lot.
Really?
Ooh.
Well, that was when we combined brake fluid and, no, what was it?
Yeah, that'll do it.
Chlorine foil?
No, it was chlorine and brake fluid. Don't combine those.
Isn't that mustard gas? What are you doing?
I've heard about that. It just combusts on its own, right?
Yeah, it was instant fire.
It was crazy. It's one of the biggest accidents we've ever had.
Wow. I think I saw that.
Right,
yeah, it created like a volcano, caught some things on fire.
Yikes.
But I'm actually for the first time, because you know.
So again, we discover things.
You can't do any fireworks, any legitimate fireworks in California for good reason because of all the fire hazards. Mm-hmm. But in South Carolina, you can basically it's the most lenient laws, and there's a number of states that have these you know, where you can do like the real like you'll get like a mortar shell that like as big as your fist, right?
Yeah.
So my father-in-law used to send us down to South Carolina with like a couple $100 to like get just whatever we
get
wanted.
The good stuff.
And then come back up to North Carolina, we would do these fireworks displays. And I've told a bunch of stories about all the accidents we had. But this year, doing it again because I'm going to be in North Carolina
on
July
4th. Really?
Oh.
So,
but is it illegal to use those fireworks in North Carolina?
Technically, yes.
Okay.
But so none of the
but no one's recording this.
The police are like they give you like they'll drive right by you. They're like, we understand, man. It's just once a year celebrating freedom of our country.
Until the vacant lot goes up in flames, as it has in past years.
Right, but I think we're gonna do it at their other house, which is up on that river, and there's a dock that goes out into the river.
Mm. Oh, you just burn the dock down.
Set it up. Yeah, the dock it just burns into the water, and then everybody walks away.
That makes sense.
I'm pretty excited about it, though. You know, because like once a year,
I wonder what your budget is.
Everybody, you know, somebody in South Carolina loses a finger, or worse.
Yeah,
and there's just a little bit of. You know, I don't know. There's some adventure in there.
You really got to get your, what's it called? The wick?
Fuse.
The fuse. Mm. You got to get your fuse game down.
Well,
like you're talking.
What I used to do is I would spend all day, because there's the big green fuse, which burns, like I like mathematically tested it and knew that like 10 inches of fuse was this many seconds and it was very reliable. Mm. And I engineered the whole thing where I would just have to light one fuse and it would do like a 25 minute firework show.
Whoa. Oh, nice.
I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to take all day. You know, I don't have the patience for that anymore.
Just get a Good Mythical Morning producer to do it for you.
Right, we'll get into rig it all up here and then I'll put it in the overhead on the
plane. Yeah, that's fine.
Sir, we need to check your bag. Wow. I'd have some residue on my fingers, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, we'll get them working on that right outside of your office.
That'd okay, be... great. No, they could do it inside the office. It's fine. It's fine. We've smelled worse. Well, we're coming up on our time. There's a little thing that we're doing now called Ian's Funny News.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I like that name.
It's news that's only funny to me for usually terrible reasons.
Okay.
So I will say... I heard about this story, and the way that it was worded made me go, and it's not funny. It's actually one of the worst things that I've seen in a while.
Good.
But the way that it was worded was Shane walked up, and he's like, hey, have you heard about, like, this One Planet thing? Is that One
Planet?
Our Planet, yeah. He's like, have you heard about this Our Planet thing? Apparently, like, climate change is making walruses commit suicide.
Oh,
like,
I saw this.
They're making them, like, jump off cliffs. And I was like, Because it's just like, of course climate change is making animals jump off cliffs. Like, oh, of course. So, you know, for the sake of the podcast, I watched the episode. The thing that was funny to me was
by episode you just mean footage of walrusi or whatever.
Yeah, so jumping off cliffs. I'll show you the photo first because I think so. Twitter, of course, reported on it. And their header photo is just this walrus doing a T pose off a cliff.
Wow.
And it's terrible, but just see, you want to.
I don't.
Spread eagle, man.
As you can see, the walrus is just doing a classic T pose.
It looks like Grimace from McDonald's just peeking over the over the.
Well, maybe
cliff.
That's what it
that
is.
That would be funny.
Maybe it's a viral marketing campaign. Yeah.
Up here, guys. The burgers are up Grimace. Here.
So there's nothing funny about the actual thing that happened. Right. Apparently, like what happened, climate change is driving like hundreds of thousands of walruses to this one rocky area in North Russia.
Okay.
And it's like there's like 100,000 walruses. Walruses are not small things. They're very, very large.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of them are trying to like get out of the crowd. So some of them like hike up this or, you know, kind of wobble up this like mountain to get away from the crowds. But apparently walruses don't have good eyesight out of the water. So there's like a cliffside and then they can hear the other walruses down at the bottom. And they're like, oh, I need to get back to the water. And they just kind of like fall down the cliff. And it's the most... probably one of the most horrifying things I've ever seen because they just show these.
Yeah, I've heard it's horrific.
It's terrible. And yeah, so the photo was funny.
What is the segment called?
Well, that's funny. Ian's funny Ian. News.
No, it's terrible. But the way that it was put to me at the very beginning was walruses are just jumping because of climate change. I was like, of course. And the T pose was just.
Are they hitting the land?
They hit the rocks and they tumble down.
And then like at the end they just show this just basically pile of dead walruses at the bottom. It's great for the polar bears because polar bears just it's easy pickings. But
Well, there you go. I mean, they're finding some good.
Silver lining. Yeah. I mean, you know, if we're really talking about victims here, the polar bears are the victims. So maybe this is a good story. Yeah.
Right.
Because I think polar bears are suffering more than the walruses.
It seems like it's only the introverted walruses that want to get away from the crowds.
Yeah, let that be a lesson.
Oh, so it's natural selection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we want the party walruses.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, don't leave a party early because you might die. You might fall off a cliff.
See, let that be a lesson to you people.
You introverts. No, I'm an introvert, so.
Me too.
Dude, I'd
be spattered all across that cliffside.
Yeah. Dude, I went to a wedding and I left with my parents. It was a family friend, and but then a bunch of them, like the wedding party, all stayed, and it was in the redwoods, like up Northern California, Mendocino County. Mm-hmm. And the thing about redwoods, if you've ever been up there, is like it's pitch black, like no light gets through those trees when it's dark, and you know everybody's drinking. They're camping, and you know, somebody was drunk and they went out to pee and they just straight fell off a cliff.
What?
They survived. They broke their neck and they kind of landed in a shallow riverbed.
They broke their neck and they survived?
Yeah, or their back or something. But yeah.
You were there at this?
I wasn't. I left before that. But yeah, pretty. So, yeah,
but that happens in San Diego all the time, too.
San Diego, really?
Yeah, they've got cliffs down there and like usually once a year in the papers.
Yeah. I stayed down there one time.
Really?
There's those cliffs that you're just, there's like a road and then it's just a straight drop for a few miles. Like, so I think it's near Sunset Beach or something like that down there north of San
Diego.
Like
North
San Diego. A few mile drop?
No. The drop is like a couple hundred feet, but like it goes like that for a few miles. And there's just plenty of places where you're just like, oh, I could just be walking on this grass.
Yeah.
And I could just fall right off. I could totally see that happening.
Do you ever get that feeling? They call it, what's it called?
Are you talking about the feeling where you're on a cliff edge and then it feels like your balls are hurting?
That's a different thing. That only happens to you.
You ever been...
I refuse to believe that only happens to me.
There's a word for it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to get the So it's like a French word, and I'm going to get it wrong, but it's l'appel du vide, something like that. Anyone speak French
l'appel
here?
L'appel du vide.
Yeah, it's the call of the void, where it's like you stand like over a cliff and you're like, or if you're driving and you're like, what if I just drove straight off this? Like, you're not like suicidal, but you're like, what if I just did that?
The thought pops into your head like unvolitionally, like it just like subconsciously you're thinking, oh, what if I went over?
Yeah.
I have a similar thing that happens sometimes, and this hasn't happened recently. It was more when I was a kid. I would be like in a conversation with somebody, and I would be like, what if I just punched this person right in the face?
Yes. What? Yes.
Yeah. I would be like,
what do you mean, yes?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I relate to that as I relate to this.
I know you're relating to it. That's what I'm asking.
And it isn't a desire to punch somebody. I've never punched anybody in the face.
Same.
It's a simple like, how crazy would it be if I punched somebody in the face right now?
Yeah.
Like, it would change everything. If I'd be in a situation where, just like, if I were to do this right now,
what
it
would happen?
Change everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what's the weirdest thought I could have right now? Same thing as the submitting to the void kind of situation. It's the same kind of like, I'm making eye contact, but like, what if I just like bit their nose?
Hey, I think the same way, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, you guys are messed up.
I've never
looked at somebody's nose and thought, I could just bite that thing off.
But now you're going to. Now you're going to be thinking that. You're going to be like, man, it'd be so weird.
Yeah, you've ruined conversations for me forever. Now.
Well, welcome to my world. You're welcome.
Yeah.
I'd like OCD to punch nightmare. You in the face.
But it's like, it's a pretty common phenomenon. It's also known as high place phenomenon, where you just kind of look over a place and you're like,
no.
But what if?
No.
You know, it's like, it's a weird, and like, sometimes like I'll get that feeling and I'm like, like it just gives me shivers. I'm like, God.
Well, I just skip directly to the and it's in my ball sack.
Yeah.
It hurts. I mean, it hurts. Like It's like I've gotten kicked in the nuts.
Yeah.
But it's like when you look over the edge of something.
Ugh, I hate that.
Or when I see someone doing that, like the sweaty palms thread on Reddit.
Have you been to the
I can't watch that stuff.
What's the Sears Tower? Like where they have like the you can walk out over the glass.
Oh yeah.
And like look straight down.
I did that in Tokyo. It was spooky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
Tokyo. No. Sorry. You don't have to do it.
I'm not gonna pollute your podcast.
What is the rule?
I have a response that I make. I do it on Good Mythical Morning, and I will do it at live Rhett and Link events. But I don't do it in real life.
That's fair. Oh. I didn't do that intentionally.
Saving a bit for the live show.
Yeah.
Is this where you guys promote your do you guys have any tours coming up?
Yeah, we do.
Oh. RhettandLinkLive.com. We're going to at the end of June we're going to
the West and the upper Midwest,
Las Vegas,
middle of the country.
Denver, Salt Lake City,
Detroit, Minneapolis, Omaha.
Ooh,
nice.
A musical concert for the ages.
Yeah.
As opposed to we might just talk to each other until we punch each other in the face.
or bite each other's nose off.
Yeah, bite Link's nose off.
I mean, you could bite, with your bite strength, you could easily bite someone's finger off, right?
Totally.
So a nose is even easier.
You could easily bite somebody's nose off.
Nose would be easier. It's cartilage.
Yeah. Easy.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Next podcast, I'd love to have you guys back on for another podcast, and maybe we'll dig more into, like, which body parts would be easier to bite off?
Yeah.
But let's save that for the next one.
I've got
one.
A list, sure.
Okay.
Work on that list, please. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thank you very much.
I could talk to you guys for forever. I hope you enjoyed my funny news.
I did.
That was
I
horrible.
Yeah, the more I talked about it, I'm like, I shouldn't have brought this up.
That was bad.
Now, you know, no one will say anything about it. No one's going to be upset with you at all.
No, trust me. People are going to be a lot more upset about the Confederate flag talk we had.
Well, we're going to cut most of that.
We're going to leave all the things you said, Damien. We're going to cut the rest of our opinions.
I just always try to dig to, like, where does that come from? And then I end up humanizing people that I 100% don't agree with. And then I look bad, and people are like, he likes Confederates. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
But thank you guys so much for coming on.
Yeah.
And thank you guys for listening. You, the listeners and the viewers, thank you so much. If you're not yet subscribed to the Smoshcast, please feel free to do that on any of your favorite podcast apps. We also got a YouTube channel. The full video comes out 2 days after on Friday. And you can subscribe to us on the YouTube channel. And be sure to like, comment, do all that fun stuff. Let us know what you thought of all the things we did. And who should we have on next? Let us know. I love you guys so much. Thank you again, Rhett and Link.
That was sweet.
Bye. Love you guys. Bye.
Love you.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here. And you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.